It's season three of Ballpark Beef, and the 2024 MLB season begins tomorrow. Boys, we got some other news to cover before we get started, though. We got some Ohtani betting scandal news to catch up on. I'll talk about this baseball reference prediction for the Yankees record, and we'll get into some other topics. So why don't you run that music for us?
Yo, Ballpark Beef fans, what's up? Season 3, Episode 2. I hope you enjoyed the opener. And we're back. We're back for more. We're going to talk a little Ohtani, as Jimmy mentioned in the intro. We're going to talk about this crazy Yankees baseball reference projections. And then we'll talk some other stuff. We'll go into the new kickoff rules for the NFL, which I'm very much a fan of. And, you know, we'll cover opening day, because opening day is tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is finally here. We've been waiting, and it's baseball's back, right? Like, spring training's, you know, like a little appetizer, right, Jimmy? Little appetizer.
Little appetizer, but they wet our whistle, if you will, by playing in Korea for a little.
Yeah.
That's fun. So yeah. Two games of real baseball. 20 runs scored in the second game. That was kind of crazy.
26.
Also, right. 26. Thank you. See, that's why we signed you to that contract, right? Stat checker, yeah. Conspiracy yeah. theorist.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire. Hey,
told.
Just do what you're told.
he's just here so he doesn't get fined.
I'm just here for moral support.
Hey, but going back to that Korea series, guess who predicted Yoshinobu Yamamoto's blow-up start? Me. Lasted one inning, gave up 5 runs. That's kind of crazy. Called that.
I have a prediction.
Go ahead.
Stroman will have a better year than Yamamoto.
What are we measuring?
War.
War?
War.
I'll take that bet.
I mean, let's just hope he stays healthy at this point, because it seems like everybody on the Yankees is getting hurt.
There's been like one guy who's gotten hurt. Weren't DJ and Garrett Cole? Well, what have you seen clearly?
It says Yankees outfielder Gonzalez suffers a right orbital fracture.
Okay, he didn't even make the starting roster.
I'm just saying he's on the Yankees.
Okay, so who else?
Starter or not, it seems like they're all just getting hurt.
Who's all?
I mean, well, the people you named are like the biggest names in your team.
DJ and Cole. I mean, Cole probably. DJ, I mean, meh.
Who's playing third?
Oswaldo Cabrera.
Who's playing second?
Gleyber Torres.
Okay.
I can name the whole lineup. You don't gotta. No,
I'm not quizzing you. I'm just trying to picture. Visualize. I'm a very visual kind of guy. I'm trying to see what the infield looks
Cabrera
like.
Cabrera is only playing. God.
I was just gonna say, because apparently nobody thinks you guys are gonna win a lot of games. We could skip right to that topic.
Let's get into it, because I haven't pulled up my phone here, because I saw this earlier and we had to talk about this. I saved the tweet. Jimmy actually brought it up before I could even say anything. But essentially, essentially, Baseball Reference put out a tweet. No, they didn't put, I'm sorry, not a tweet. They didn't put out a tweet. I'm sorry. They do projections every year for each division. So they project the AL East. And they have the Yankees roughly going, give or take, 72 and 90. Best case scenario for the Yankees this year is 82 and 80. They are projected to finish last in the AL East. Last. This is with 90% confidence. So they're 90% on this, that the Yankees are just going to shit the bed. So I don't even know what to say. This is fucking crazy. Excuse my language, but this is a rated R podcast. So if you're under, 18, I'm sorry. This is insane. The Yankees winning at best 82 games this year. Whoever was putting these calculations together or whatever is on some serious shit. They need to be fired. They need to be fired. Because if they're going to finish behind the Red Sox, I'm going to have a rough year. A rough, not even behind the Red Sox, in last fucking place. I would love to see what the Cardinals and Mets projections are. I only have the Yankees.
On Baseball Reference, I don't have you, but they said the Cardinals are 84.5 and the Mets are 81.5.
Well, no, we're going by Baseball Reference, because clearly Baseball Reference is whatever shit Walter White was cooking back in Breaking Bad.
Blue meth.
Yeah, because this is some shit right here. This is some serious shit. Can we have the stat checker look that up for us?
Yeah, get on that. Baseball.
Yes.
Baseball Reference has the Mets at 70.2 wins. Okay. I mean, the Cardinals, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see what the Mets are. New York. You guys can continue talking.
Yeah, I mean, so Jimmy, like,
yeah,
what the fuck's going on here?
Well, I'll tell you what is actually going on, but what they're predicting is a non-Yankee way. They're predicting that you guys suck. That's what's happening. Because the other side of the 90% confidence interval is 62 and 100. Imagine if the Yankees lost 100 games, what would happen in the Bronx? I think literally every bodega in the Bronx would burn down to the ground. Glass would be littered on the streets and shit would just not be good. That's all I'm saying.
I guess you didn't talk anymore.
Yeah, he just dipped. So, you know, we're just going to continue on because that's what this podcast is. We're just going with the flow. He's in, he's out, he's whatever, bro. But that being said, do we have a Mets prediction for the record?
Yeah, the Mets are the only team that's not coming up, so my guess is it's not good.
For that reason, it's not good. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But so Baseball Reference, I think what they did is they essentially used last year's last 100 games. So if the Yankees like fell off a cliff, their last 100 games, like their record would have been shit. So they use that, and then they adjust for strength of schedule this year. And then I don't think they even consider any acquisitions. So they didn't even consider Juan Soto in their calculation. So to me, it just feels like a flawed system to calculate a record, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with Gerrit Cole being out, there's no way that's like their only excuse of their prediction being that low. Like, I have
no Gerrit Cole injury.
And yes, with Gerrit Cole like being out for the start of the year, there's no way that's like the only reason. Like, I'm curious on what the other reason is that they're projected 72 wins, because I think the Yankees are going to average around
over 6 runs a game.
Like 5 or 6 are going to average about that a game, and the lineup is stacked.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, if I'm a pitcher, I don't want to pitch to either Judge or Soto. So, and that means pitching to Rizzo.
You also have to realize that Stanton and Rizzo are behind him, and Stanton looks pretty good in spring training now that he lost a lot of weight.
He's their it factor.
Yeah, he's another one that they hope to can stay healthy, because I mean, like I said, based off his spring training, it looks like this could be one of his good years.
I mean, I think that weight is a huge difference. It just gets you to move a little bit better. So, I mean, he's still gonna hit tanks. He still hits the ball as hard as anyone. If it takes a home run or two away from him to raise his average 50 points, I would take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like another player where, you know, say he's hot, it's not like, you know, Judge and Soto are in front of him and they're like, oh, we could just pitch around these guys because we have Stanton coming up. Like, no, now you got Stanton up with two men on. So instead of it being
and
a
then if you happen to get
now it's a 3-1 string.
Yeah. And if you happen to get him out, then Rizzo's right there, but you know, to be honest with you, I don't even like the Yankees, and Jonathan's still not back, so I'm not talking about the Yankees anymore.
All right, dude. Well, I can't find a Met projection, but I mean, based off Baseball Reference, I don't even think I could take a guess. They got
the
Yankees at 71.
These days.
They got the Cardinals at, I think it was like 81 or something. Like, I don't know. Maybe right in the middle. 70 wins. So they got the Yankees being one win more than the Cardinals.
That's wild. I'm trying to see the projections for the Mets, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's not coming up for me. I don't know what it is, but anyway, do you want to talk about the Ohtani thing now, or should we wait until Jonathan can somehow get back in here?
Yeah, I mean, let me just pause real quick. Go to a short commercial break.
All right. We'll be back.
This would be a real good time to have like an ad read.
All right. I'm back. Holy, I don't know what happened there, but I kept trying to load in and it kept just dropping out. So sorry about that. That was weird.
Well, we only took like a 2-puff smoke break, so you didn't miss much.
Good. Okay. Now, Jimmy.
Dinette?
I can't hear Jimmy at all.
You lagged there, my man.
Yeah.
How am I doing now?
You're good.
I think you should just start your sentence over.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, like, we carried that. The dynamic was a little off. You know, we need our third man, but yeah, it's good. I don't even think you need to jump in there and edit. I think we're rolling.
You sure?
Yeah, so basically, to sum it up. Yeah, so to sum it up, the Cardinals' projection is 70.2 wins, two games worse than the Yankees. And the Mets, we couldn't find one. But, I mean, Baseball Reference must be smoking something, so it can't be much higher.
Dude, that is just to say that. So the Cardinals were 70 and 96?
70 92? And 92.
Okay, so essentially they're projecting the Cardinals to win two less games than the Yankees. That is their 90% honest projection.
Yes, their 90th percentile projection places them at 80 wins. But Baseball Reference projects them at 70.
That is just insane.
And the worst case scenario for the Cardinals is 60.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, whatever they're smoking, they might as well pass it this way.
Yeah, like I said, that's some Walter White shit, and they need to get their shit together. Someone needs to be fired for that. Just like, this will roll us into our next topic, just like Otani's interpreter was fired, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, man, we gotta talk about that. We kind of slammed...
Oh, wait, hold up. I have breaking news. Breaking news just in from Jeff Passan. Jordan Montgomery has signed a deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Huge move.
Oh, what a disappointing signing.
Huge move for the Diamondbacks. I'm sure Mets fans are all upset now because they thought they'd get Montgomery and make the World Series, but it's not going to happen. All right, guys? So let's move on to Otani. But yeah, Montgomery joins the Diamondbacks, who made the World Series last year, and now he just bolsters that staff.
W Diamondbacks.
Huge get. Que lo que.
Huge get. Que lo que, Monty. But yeah, back to the Otani thing. So, like, Twitter's just crashing and burning right now. Whoever isn't a Dodgers fan is hoping Otani did bets and stuff. And then whoever is a Dodgers fan is, you know, backing Otani. My thing about the whole thing is basically, it doesn't make sense how this guy was essentially Otani's best friend. He was with him almost everywhere. He was with him at the freaking Super Bowl. Like, he's just always with him, and he's his known friend. And for $4.5 million to just go mysteriously missing out of his bank account just makes no sense to me. So, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, Otani has to have some knowledge of this prior to finding out. That's my opinion. I would like to hear what you guys think.
I think the sports betting excuse is like just basically an excuse. Like, I think that was like the first thing that they could think of to, you know, try and pin it on Otani. I mean, if he gave him money, then that's fine. But I personally think that the guy stole money from Otani and he's like, oh, I got caught now. Let me try and pin this on him now.
It's interesting. I disagree with both of you. Oh my God. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
See if this works. Okay, brother. Just talk.
All right. Great. So this is what I was thinking. When this shit happened, Otani's initial reaction was, I gave him the money. I wired him the money to help him out. But now they're saying that he stole it. So they have to show without a reasonable doubt that there's evidence that this guy has access to his funds, to his accounts, to his, you know, bank to be able to wire stuff. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. I don't think there's going to be the evidence there. It doesn't make sense because Otani said that he gave him the money and then he turned around and said that he stole it. I don't think that makes sense. Something's not adding up in the story. A little fishy, and there's been a lot of silence about it since the news came out because they're trying to like destroy all the evidence or whatever. I don't know. I'm wearing my tin hat on this one.
I think this will be one of Nick's conspiracy theories down the line somewhere. But it's just, there's something missing here, you know? Like you said, Jimmy, there's something's in this story missing. Like, something's not adding up to me. Like, $4.5 million just doesn't, like, disappear, you know? Like, I don't know. That's my thoughts.
What's crazy is I heard that Otani gave him that much money to get him out of debt. I mean, like, realistically, how are you in $4.5 million of debt?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you're wagering millions of dollars on sports. Yeah. So, well, you win some, you lose some, but you're wagering, you know, $10 million a year and you could be down in the hole that much.
The guy just has a bad gambling addiction.
I'm really not buying the gambling addiction.
Oh. Well, you think that Ipe is definitely like a thief?
Wouldn't Ohtani just like see this coming? I couldn't imagine, like, it's his best, like, they're well known friend, like, it's known that they're very good friends. So for something to just like happen like this out of the blue and Ohtani have zero idea, zero clue, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't
Didn't
add
it
up.
All start when the Dodgers are playing in South Korea?
Yeah, well, that's when the allegations came out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, could his interpreter have been gambling and he's $4.5 million in debt? Yes, but I don't think Ohtani was the one gambling.
And that's not what I'm saying.
Isn't that what they're saying? Ohtani used it as gambling.
No, that's just some people trying to throw Ohtani down.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the... I think that he knows about his gambling addiction. And I think Ipe is being the fall guy and taking all the blame. Because, you know, Ohtani bailed him out, but he's not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Also, like, in my opinion, they're best friends. So I think that Ohtani would do anything for him. And like $4.5 million is kind of light for Ohtani.
Fair. Fair. That is kind of light.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know. We'll obviously learn more and more stuff will come out, right? So we'll find out more stuff. But for now, Ipe... Let's get better, man, honestly. Gambling addictions aren't good. They're really bad. That's all you can hope for. Ohtani, hopefully your name's not in this any further and you didn't do anything stupid. I don't think he did. But, I mean, good for you for being there for your friend, but he kind of fucked himself, essentially. So.
Yeah, but also, like, if Ohtani did or, like, send him the money... Kudos to him for taking all of the blame and like switching up his story and like taking on all the heat and possibly going to jail and all that stuff for the thievery. That's crazy to go to jail for him.
No, for sure. You're 100%. It's to go to jail for Ohtani is, you know, I'm sure he'll be good once he gets out. No.
Yeah. No, I think Ohtani will always take care of him. I just think that there's more to the story, and I think that the media. Their perception of the story is not the truth.
No. There's more to the story, and I doubt we're going to hear the whole story.
No, we'll never hear that.
They're going to try and cover it up to make Ohtani look fine.
Well, the thing is, he's like the face of Major League Baseball. Imagine the face of Major League Baseball like ending up like Pete Rose. Like they'll just never let that happen. Never.
Bro, he's the face of global baseball. He transcends just the United States.
Fair. You're right. That's what I'm saying. So, like they can't let that happen. Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah.
Developing news, and we have to see what happens.
Yeah.
Also, just one quick thing I did want to say on the show. Thoughts and prayers out to the folks in Baltimore. That cargo ship hitting that bridge and that bridge falling down. You know, kudos to all the first responders and the people looking for survivors, and you know, thoughts and prayers with them in Baltimore.
Yeah, for sure. Scary, scary stuff, man. Something you think would never happen in your lifetime. And, you know, just kudos to all the first responders. Prayers to all the families who were involved. And, you know, that's as much as we can say. But terrible. It's just terrible, man.
Yeah, prayers up, man.
But on a lighter note, let's talk about this new kickoff rule. Did you guys see about that?
Saw a video earlier today.
Yeah, so essentially, there's going to be no more boring kickoffs. It's going to be, I don't know if anyone, any listeners or any of you guys have watched any of the, like the XFL or the USFL. So basically how it works is they line up at the, I'm trying to remember where they line up.
I think it's the 40.
Yeah, they'll line up on the other team's 40-yard line. And then the receiving team will line up on the 35 of their own 35. And the team kicking will line up on the 40, so 5 yards apart. And then the kicker lines up at the 35-yard line. So it's like it's going to be more strategic. Like, you're going to be able to have your speedy guys back there, and we're going to see a shit ton more kickoff returns. because it's going to be man-to-man blocking or it's going to be some kind of technique. It's going to be really interesting. Actually, this is one of the rules I'm very excited about. I think it's going to be really fun to watch this year.
So my question is, they're kicking it from the same spot as normal, right?
35-yard line, yeah.
So wouldn't the ball just end up in the end zone anyway?
I mean, if it does, yeah. If the kick goes into the end zone for a touchback, it'll go out to the 30-yard line.
Compared to them receiving it at like the 5 and then trying to run to the 30.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, exactly. regular touchback was always 25, so now it's 30. It's I think it's going to be good for the game.
No, yeah, I'm just trying to see if like, so basically with them moving up the touchback, it's kind of smarter to not kick it in the end zone and let them return it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like the return is going to be a lot more dangerous now because you're not like the kicking team's not darting down full of momentum. Mm-hmm. It's basically like one-on-one blocking. Like if you look up a video when you get a chance, you can see it. It's going to be fun. Like I can't wait to see like if they put a Tyreek Hill or Devon Achan back there. The Dolphins might have like 10 kick returns this year. No cap.
Damn, that's crazy. So this says 80% of the drives last season started at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, because everything was just kicked into the freaking end zone. So boring.
Yeah, it was really boring.
Of touchbacks this year. Is it like fully in effect or are they just like testing it?
No, I'm pretty sure it was passed, right?
Yeah. I think it was passed unanimously with the owners. So I don't think it's going to be more dangerous though. So I think like, so the way I understand it, they're kicking from their own 35. The two lines are lined up spread across the field of like, what is it? I don't know, 10 players on each side. Yeah, lined up on their 35 and 30. And then the returner is like around the 5. So like, there's not going to be like so much momentum. You have to kind of beat the defender to even get to the returner. There's no gunners. There's no full speed tackling, nothing.
Yeah. No, I didn't say any more injuries. I think it's going to be like a straight up blocking match. You know, it's going to be a chess match. I sent the video in our little chat if you guys wanted to check it out.
Yeah, I saw that. But
yeah, dude, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be really fun. By the way, MLB fans, Jordan Montgomery got a one-year $25 million deal. Scott Boras, you are failing your clients.
That's all wild.
All these short-term deals. One-year $25 million to the Diamondbacks, Jordan Montgomery. World Series winner. Pivotal part of that rotation.
Here's the good and the bad of it for the Mets. The Mets could have signed him, but it would have costed $50 million this year, and we weren't a starting pitcher away from really competing, like really, really competing in the NL. That's probably why we didn't end up with him.
And if you guys watched the video here that I sent, the blockers can't move until the ball is caught.
Caught or touch the ground.
Yep. Mm. So like there's no momentum from the kicking team. It's just straight up block your man. Gonna be good.
It's crazy. Yeah, and I think what was I gonna say? I think there could be some interesting strategy with like putting some bigger guys in,
yeah,
on the blocking side. You know, like using some of your backup linemen to fend off some serious rushers to get past them. Right? Like I don't know. I think this is gonna be an interesting little special teams chess match.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be really cool. There was one more rule that was passed that I'm not a huge fan of. I don't know how much you guys actually look into football, but you guys heard the hip drop tackle. Yes. So essentially what the hip drop tackle is, for you guys who don't know, is basically when a defender grabs on from the hip and like drops down. If you look it up, you'll may not be explaining it well, but it was a cause of concern because it creates so many injuries. But my whole thing is it's football. Okay. They've put in so many rules to protect players. I understand, but at some point it's going to turn into flag football. Like, how is a defender going at someone full speed just going to stop, who's been tackling their whole life, going to stop and be like, oh, I can't do this. Now, what if that defender hurts themselves trying to fucking do something different? You know what I mean? It's like all these rules are great and yeah, they're protecting players' health, but you can end up really hurting someone else because they're not trying to hurt someone else. it's kind of a double-edged sword, or, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that.
Wait, so the rule is they're banning it?
Yes.
I mean, that just gives more reason for people to just lower their shoulder and try and kill each other.
Well, I mean, hip drop tackle, you're not really lowering your shoulder.
No, I'm saying with them banning it, like, well, no other way to tackle than full speed at someone and try and lay them out.
Yeah, essentially.
I don't get how that's going to prevent injuries.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting.
A lot of the times, like when I watch, I don't really see people try and tackle like hip tackles. I see them lower their head and shoulder and just try and, you know, make the guy do a 360 in the air or a front flip in the air.
I think the hip drop is more of like when the ball carrier is running away from you and you're running from behind. I think that's when it's more like you see it more. But again, I'm not an expert on
tackling.
Yeah.
But if you describe it as that, you know, how are you supposed to tackle a guy from behind? What, do you jump on his back?
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
So picture this is you're running to go chase DK Metcalf for whatever goddamn reason is you're in a football game against DK Metcalf and he's running down the field. You're chasing him from behind and you jump on his back and drop your hips. That's an illegal tackle because you roll up underneath him. You catch his legs under your body as you're both going to the ground and it's a lower leg injury risk.
Yeah.
But that being said, how are you supposed to get him? You're supposed to slap his legs from underneath him and let him fall over his own stumbles. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, that's like the whole point of my argument. It's like, what the hell are these guys supposed to do now?
It's like, oh, well, I'm chasing this guy. Might as well just let him score.
Like, are you just supposed to like trip him or something? Like, you know, like, I don't know now. It's crazy. NFL's getting soft. But we forgot
every other sport.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I don't watch basketball anymore.
I'm sorry. I didn't mention anything about basketball.
Well, basketball is just like terrible now, unless it's the playoffs. But we forgot to talk about our prospects, guys.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do our prospect corner, and then let's say one prediction for each of our teams going into the 2024 season, because it's opening day. We got to at least acknowledge that.
Yeah, we should also do our lock of the week.
Lock of opening day.
Lock of opening day? Question mark?
Well, I'll go right now, the Mets, because they always win on opening day.
Well, they're going to be rained out because it's a home opener.
Whenever they open.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start off. Actually, no. Nick, you start off because, yeah, just go.
Okay. So we're picking two prospects not in our team's top five.
According to MLB.
Yes, according to MLB.com. The two people I am going with is our 20-year-old catcher named Leonardo Bernal. He is ranked 8th. Everybody knows that the Cardinals struggle with the catcher position ever since Yadi left. His last 2 years in single A, dude's been hitting over 250 and not striking out a lot. So to me, he looks like he could be a guy that can be a little more effective on the bat. And, I mean, as a Cardinal, usually the catchers are pretty good, so he'll learn how to do that. I don't know much about him in the field, but he looks like a solid bat for a catcher, which, you know, in today's game, that's kind of hard to find. And then my second player, I think he's had a couple games in the majors, but I'm not 100% sure. Gordon Graceffo. Last year was his worst year. He's 24, right-hand pitcher. Last year's worst year, 21 games, a 5 ERA, but the 2 years before had under 3. Like I said, we know the Cardinals struggle with pitching. I think this guy's 24. He could definitely be a factor in the Cardinals' rotation in the next upcoming years.
Love it. Love to hear it. All right, let's hear about this top farm system in the Queens that all the Mets fans on Twitter are horny about.
Yeah, me included, man. I will go and give two honorable mentions before I get into my two picks, because I feel like I've talked about these two prospects over and over and over again, but I do want to shout out two new ones. First one, honorable mention, Christian Scott. I think he's going to get called up to the majors and get a taste of the show this year. Very excited for that. And I'm big on Ryan Clifford, first base lefty, 20 years old. I think he's going to have a pretty good career as well. So looking forward to their debuts. But two prospects that I really like in the Mets system, and I've been saying it for a while, two right-handed pitchers. The first, Blade Tidwell. 22 years old. He had a, what's he got? 3.45 ERA across 125 minor league innings. I think he's going to get a little taste of the show. He's definitely going to start in either AA or AAA, and I expect him to work his way up the Mets farm system. And then the second prospect I'm really excited for is Mike Vasil as well. He's a 24-year-old right-handed pitcher. He has a 4.14 ERA across 202 minor league innings. So he'll probably, he most definitely will start in AAA, and he'll get his call too. So I'm excited for the Mets young core. I think the young core in the majors is solid, and I think it's growing. So Queens Farm System is looking bright. Shout out to the Mets pitching lab. I think that's really working wonders for some of these young kids.
All right, so since Jimmy did honorable mentions, I'm just going to shout out Spencer Jones. He's a stud, okay? He is a left-handed hitting judge with more athleticism. So just picture that, okay? I'm also going to shout out Roderick Arias, who's a switch-hitting shortstop. He was hurt last year, but I expect big things this year, and I'm excited to see a lot about him. Now, my two guys out of the top five is a shortstop we drafted this year, 6'3". He's 18 years old. He had a few taters in spring training. He's going to be a household name soon. His name is George Lombard Jr. Okay, this guy's 18 years old. We drafted him in the first round last year. He's probably going to be our future third baseman. And yeah, just look out for him. He's electric, man. He's going to be really good. And my second player is a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher. He is 6'7". 6'7", okay? Think about that. And he's a breakout contender this year. He only pitched in rookie ball as of right now. He'll be in single A. And yeah.
Where's he breaking out of?
According to Jonathan, that guy's going to be so good because he's 6'7".
6'7", lefty.
Breakout, where's he breaking out of?
He's going to have a breakout year. He's been in freaking rookie ball. Like, he's not a well-known prospect.
Okay.
But yeah, seven.
The Yankees farm system is deep, man. It's deeper than most people think. It's definitely better than the Mets system. I'm sorry. The Mets system is so overrated. I mean, their top prospect is a 5'6 middle infielder who hits for average. That's their top prospect, ladies and gentlemen. Jet Williams. He's 5'6".
Jet the Met?
Okay.
Beat the brakes off of you, though.
Their other guy is only ranked high because he's Acuna's brother. I mean, his stats aren't even that good. I mean, yeah, he hit 315 and then 243 last year. So 294.
You sound dumb.
But, I mean, the Mets are just getting bleh, bleh. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But the Yankees
Can you explain? I don't know what you mean.
Mean by what?
Bleh, bleh.
I'm not going to go into detail on that. We're not fully rated R yet. We're more of like PG-16.
PG-16.
Well, MLB.com has the Yankees at 11 and the Mets at 13.
Oh, well,
that's cap.
On Bleacher Report, the Mets were like fourth, and I was like scratching my head. So at least MLB.com knows what they're talking about. Anyways, my prediction for this year, Juan Soto wins MVP. Go ahead.
I thought we were having an opening day.
No, we're doing a prediction for our team this year. Juan Soto's winning MVP.
My prediction is that the grandpa finishes top five in MVP.
Mm. Ooh.
Grandpa Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's a decent one.
I have two.
Oh, of course.
This guy always got to outdo us in everything, bro.
Of course.
I have two, and I have to say two because I need to cap.
I'm going to add an extra one, too.
I'll add an extra one, too.
All right, so I'll do one for now, and then we can go all back around. So
why don't we just do three things?
I can go all night.
All right, sure.
Number one, Pete Alonso leads the National League in home runs.
My God, he's got to beat like two fucking people.
Number two, Francisco Alvarez places top 10 in MVP voting.
Brother, stop it. Stop.
Nope. I am so bullish.
Hold on, wait, hold on. Jimmy has the cap half on. Let's have him put it on fully.
Let's hear number three.
Oh, I didn't have a third one. Wait, go back around and come back to me.
Okay. My number two is Yankees make the World Series.
Bet.
72 wins.
Right.
71 and a half. Get it right.
I'll take the over.
I got. Yeah. So would everyone else.
My second one is the Cardinals starting rotation is going to have under a 4 ERA.
Oh my God. Bet good. Bet good. Bet good. I'll put 24 for fours on that.
I might put my bank account on that. It's like 16 four for fours, but that's all right.
I had to put my cap half on with Jimmy.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
I can't compete with that cap.
Do you have a number three?
It's kind of crazy how you said you had two right away, and I really thought you were going to say something about the best NL shortstop.
I thought he was going to say the Mets are going to make the playoffs. I thought that's what he was going to say.
Yo, I have a... You want to make a bet, Mr. Jimmy?
What's up?
Wait, hold on. Let me just look this up real quick before I say anything stupid.
Yeah, tell us your number three while he's looking that up.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'm going to say Francisco Lindor has a 35-35 season.
35-35?
4-4. 5 4-4s.
35 homers, 35 steals. I think he outdoes last year. He had a 30-30 year. I have a 35-35 year.
All right, my number three is... You ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Very ready.
This is going to be an interesting one. Anthony Volpe has a batting average over 270. Okay?
Wow.
Mid.
Over 270.
Mid.
He's got a new swing. He's going to start making better contact. Stop chasing.
He's got a new pair of shoes.
Okay, Jet.
You ready for my
third
cap?
Jet looks up to Volpe?
I don't care what Jet does. Jet's the Met.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready for my third cap?
Let's hear your third cap, because this must be cap.
Nolan Arenado is going to finish with 35 and 110.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Resurgence.
Jesus.
But Jimmy, my bet is I bet you 1 4-4 that Pete Alonso strikes out more than 130 times this year.
I would take that any day, anytime.
Yeah, I would. I'm not making that bet.
Why not? He's only struck out two times in his career, two seasons over 130.
Which years?
Last year and his first year.
His first year, he was trying to hit nukes all year.
Last year, he had 151.
Yeah, last year could be the start of a trend pop, so I'm not going there.
What if I make it 150?
Is that the only year he had over 150 last year?
Yeah, 22, he had 128. 21, he had 127.
What about 2019?
183, that was his first year.
Yikes.
Yeah, bet good. 150 is good.
150, all right, let's go. Now I got to look something up for Mr. Jonathan real quick.
All right,
write this shit down.
We're placing some bets here.
Yeah, I just want one, you know? I bet you... Let's see. I will do... Let's do Aaron Judge at 125.
Strikeouts?
Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah, I'll take that.
You'll take the under?
Yeah.
All right.
How many?
125.
Oh, he's got the over locked.
No.
Aaron Judge hasn't had 1 year under 130.
Then how does he have always such a high OPS?
Because he hits fucking taters.
That doesn't equate to OPS.
Yes, it does. You get 4 points towards your slugging percentage every time you hit a homer.
Oh, you do?
It's 4.00 OPS.
I'll take
that. Do you know how to calculate stats?
I don't know how to calculate OPS, honestly.
Oh my God, bro. This is a baseball OPS podcast. Y'all both need to do some homework.
OPS is outs per strikeouts, right?
No.
On base plus slugging.
All the time. Outs per strikeout. What does that even mean to you?
On base plus slugging. Okay. All right. Whatever.
Out per strikeout. This guy doesn't have an idea.
Oh, what so the 125
OPS
is good?
Means.
Yeah, sure.
I bet. So that's going to be too easy for fours.
Do we have an HR department? I need to hand in my resignation because I can't be on a podcast with two people who don't understand what OPS is.
Just told him what it meant.
What about the guy who freaking didn't know his starting rotation? Nick, what's the Cardinals starting rotation?
I see what you do, Jimmy.
What's the starting rotation?
I don't know all five.
I asked you to do homework.
You know who's got a dirty starting rotation? I'll deflect for you, Nick. Hold on. Ready? The Diamondbacks.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Monty, Erod, Fott. What the hell is his name? Oh, it's escaping Gallen. Me. Gallen and somebody else. The other guy's good too. Forget his name. Yeah, dude, that's a disgusting. If you go into a playoff series with Erod, Montgomery, and Gallen, yeah, have a good day. And Fott in long relief, yeah, have a good day.
Talking about Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Merrill Kelly, isn't he good?
Yeah, Merrill Kelly. He's decent. Yeah, they got a pretty nasty rotation there.
They're a problem.
They are going to be a problem this year, and they're only getting better.
Hey, you can only get better.
That's the scary thing, unless you're the Mets.
Are we picking a winner for opening day?
Signing a 35-year-old JD Martinez. Anyways.
That's a great get. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. JD Martinez, yeah. Great get. Middle of the order, protection for Pete. Love it.
How do you not even talk about that? It's like you're, you know.
Because, bro, we're cautiously optimistic about this season.
There's bigger news than who the Mets, what 40-year-old the Mets signed this year. All right, we don't have to talk about every 40-year-old that they sign. We all know that they're the retirement plan. All right, boys, my lock of the week for opening day, March 28th.
Jimmy. Oh, man.
My lock for opening day, March 28th, is the Baltimore Orioles over the Los Angeles Angels.
How is Corbin that a lock?
Makes his first start as an Oriole and is going to shut down the Angels.
That's like a freebie.
I mean, the only minus 185.
It's a freebie. Got to do something a little harder.
Minus 185.
I mean, I'm pretty sure lock of the week is a lock of the week. All right, we'll eventually get to underdog of the week, but that's my lock of the week.
All right, well, I was going to do something a little cap. But
well, you could do whatever you want.
But I guess we're not.
You want to know who the dog of the week is? The Cardinals. The
Cardinals over the Dodgers.
Yep. Yeah, that's a dog.
All right, I guess we're doing locks then. I'm taking Shane Bieber and the Guardians against the Athletics.
I think the Athletics might win like 40 games this year.
Yeah, they're pretty god awful.
They got a young arm that throws 100. He's pretty good.
Mason Miller, he's a dog.
There's some Ched got a nasty curveball that would break John's ankles.
Probably.
Don't worry, Jonathan anyway. Can't even hit a ball that's not moving.
not against that. I don't know where Nick's getting that information from.
You got to get on that T-work, kid. Anyway, the Mets over the Brewers. That's the lock of the week. The Mets have a historically amazing opening day record and will continue it at home whenever the hell they play.
They'll be rained out.
So Friday.
Scott, well,
there you have it.
Cannot just not pick the Mets.
Listen, we've all been waiting for this moment. Opening day is finally upon us. Make sure you put in those, you're taking off for work days. If you can, if you have that luxury. I know I'll be at work. Jimmy will be at work. Jimmy may be working from home. Who knows? He'll be lucky. He'll get to take in all the action at home. Nick will be working.
But I'll be watching on my phone.
And he's lucky he gets to do that. I will just be able to check ESPN occasionally. But enjoy opening day, guys. All right. You only get it one time a year. Enjoy 162. And I hope you enjoy this episode. We will see you next week. Make sure to check us out on all social media platforms. Right? Next Wednesday. Okay. Be here.